Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 16th Chapter, Text 22. Shri Adityurvacha Kenaham Vidina Brahman Upastase Jagatpatim Yatha Me Satya Sankalpo Vidhadyat Sa Madhartam. Sri Aditya Ruvacha. Kenaham vidina brahman upastase jagatpatim yathame satya sankalpo vidadhyat samanoratam. Shri Aditya Ruvacha. Kenaham vidina brahman upastase jagatpatim yathame satya sankalpo vidadyat samanoratam. Shri Aditya Ruvacha. Kenaham vidina brahman upastase jagatpatim yatha me satya sankalpo vidadhyar samanoratam. Shri Aditya Ruvacha. Kenaham vidina brahman upastase jagatpatim yatha me satya sankalpo viradhya samanoratam. Kenaham vidha brahman upastase jagatpatim yatha me satya sankalpo viradhya samanoratam. Shri Aditya Ruvacha. Kenaham vidina brahman upastase jagatpatim yatha me satya sankalpo vidadhyat samanoratam. Any lady? Shri Aditya Ruvacha. Srimati Aditi began to pray. Kena, by which, aham, I, vidina, by regulative principles, Brahman, O Brahmana, upastase, can please Jagatpatim, the Lord of the Universe, Jagannath, yatha, by which, may, my, satya sankalpa, desire may actually be fulfilled. Vidadhyat may fulfill sa he, the Supreme Lord, manoratam, ambitions or desires. Translation. Srimati Aditi said, O Brahmana, tell me the regulative principles by which I may worship the Supreme Master of the world so that the Lord will be pleased with me and fulfill all my desires. Please repeat. Srimati Aditi said, O Brahmana, tell me the regular principles by which I may worship the Supreme Master of the world so that the Lord will be pleased with me and fulfill all my desires. Purport. It is said, man proposes, God disposes. Thus a person may desire many things, but unless these desires are fulfilled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot be fulfilled. Fulfillment of desire is called satya-sankalpa. Here the word satya-sankalpa is very important. Aditi placed herself at the mercy of her husband so that he would give her directions by which to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that all her desires would be fulfilled. A disciple must first decide that he should worship the Supreme Lord, and then the spiritual master will give the disciple correct directions. One cannot dictate to the spiritual master, just as a patient cannot demand that his physician prescribe a certain type of medicine. Here is the beginning of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. Arto jigyasur artarti gyani cha bharatar shabha. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Aditi was Arta, a person in distress. She was very much aggrieved because her sons, the demigods, were bereft of everything. Thus, she wanted to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of her husband, Kashyap Muni. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this chapter is leading us to the appearance of Lord Vamana. And as we have already read, that Bali Maharaj, the king of the Asuras, had become very powerful by worshipping the Brahmanas, taking advantage of his powerful position. He had attacked Indrapuri, and the demigods were very astonished to see their unrivaled prowess. So their spiritual master Brihaspati had advised them, you can't defeat them now, not possible. Because they are empowered with Brahma Tejas. Better you leave this place and wait for the proper time. So, it's also interesting that Bali Maharaj, of course, he is the grandson of Prahlad, king, and he is the king of the demons or the asuras, and he has attacked the demigods who are the devotees working under the direction of the Supreme Lord to administer the universal affairs. But still, Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans. There's a verse where the Mahajans are listed. Does anyone know who has spoken this verse? Yes. Yamraj. So who knows who are these 12 Mahajanas? In the Mahabharata, aside from Bhagavad Gita, there's only a couple verses which Prabhupada referred to, but one he referred to many times. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. If we want to know the truth of dharma, we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. So there's 12 Mahajanas listed. Who can name them? But you can't answer all the questions. Each person only gets to answer one question. Okay, Narad Rishi Prabhu. Don't ask him. You're sitting in the exam and you want to ask the person next to you? Swayambhu. Who is Swayambhu? Brahma. Narada, Shambhu, Shiva, Kumara, Kapilo, Kapila, Manu, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishma, Balir, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki, Sukadeva Goswami, Vayam, because spoken by Yamraj, means myself. So although he is the king of the demons, he's one of the Mahajans. And how he became recognized as one of the Mahajans, that will be explained later on. So here, Aditi, it's nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada that she's approaching her husband. She's in a distressed condition. Her sons have lost everything. They are kicked out of their abode. So she's in distress. So what to do? She understands, I must approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains that this is the beginning of devotional service. And he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, that four kinds of persons, when they are in need, they approach the Lord. One is a distressed person. Another is a person who's in need of money. Another is an inquisitive person. And another is a jnani, or one who actually wants to understand the absolute truth. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the previous verse to this, there's another four people, four classes of persons. And they never surrender to the Supreme Lord. Does anyone know this verse? Yes. Yes. I could only hear the beginning. Namam duskritina mudha. Prapadyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. They have no faith in the Supreme Lord. Perhaps they even doubt his very existence. And so when they're in distress, they rely upon their own prowess. But as pointed out in the beginning of the purport, the factual situation is, because everyone has desires, but desires cannot be fulfilled independently. Desires can only be fulfilled with the sanction of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Upadrashtanumanta cha. I am the overseer, means in his all-pervading form, he perceives everything, and then he sanctions, as Prabhupada explains, a man proposes, God disposes. Prabhupada would often say, everyone has desires, but first deserve, then desire. The fulfillment of desires is only given to those who deserve to have those desires fulfilled. So, in today's society, all over the world, less in India but more elsewhere, there is Duskritina life. This, Krishna says, four kinds of Sukritina, John, they approach me. And those who don't, they are just the opposite, Duskritina. Prabhupada explains that Kritina means meritorious. They may be very intelligent. They may be very skilled in so many ways. But Duskritina, it is being misused because they are miscreants. So Srila Prabhupada, he has said that he has started a revolution against this godless civilization. And it is a fact that you read the newspaper, you turn on the television, you see people talking everywhere, you go to the schools and colleges. There's no, or very little, there's no talk of God. There is talk of economic development and sense gratification. But the result of godlessness, as explained in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac natures, those who are demoniac, what is the meaning of demoniac? Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva Asuras Tad Viparyaya. That devas means those who are Vishnu Bhakta. And asura means just the opposite. They don't have any care for God. So it is such a situation now that even the so-called intellectual classes of men in society, scientists and philosophers, politicians and others, but especially the intellectual class, they are openly propagating that there is no God, that God is an old-fashioned idea, primitive idea. But now they say we are enlightened in scientific knowledge, so we can understand that there is no such thing as God. So, of course, Prabhupada tried to establish a Krishna consciousness movement in India, but had very little success. And beside that, his spiritual master had ordered him to go preach in the West in the English language. So after a lifetime of preparation, he sailed to America. And after a hard, hard struggle, and this hard struggle of Srila Prabhupada, it is very nicely portrayed in Yadubara Prabhu's film. So I recommend, I have seen it twice, and I recommend everyone see this wonderful film. It gives such a strong impression of how Prabhupada struggled and underwent so much austerity to establish this Krishna consciousness movement. But the Krishna consciousness movement, after a very slow beginning, it expanded very rapidly. And this is also nicely described in Hayagriva's book, The Hare Krishna Explosion. It was like an explosion from nothing. Then after a few years, there's temples all over the world. So this was very gratifying to Srila Prabhupada. But in 1972, I believe it was, someone came to him, at that time Swarup Damodar, took sannyas later. He was a PhD in organic chemistry at the University of California. And he came to meet Prabhupada and then became his disciple. So Srila Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to get a scientist as a disciple. Because, don't think that Srila Prabhupada's ambition was simply to establish many, many temples all over the world and create hundreds and thousands of devotees, although that, of course that is there, but beyond that, as he expressed numerous times, he wanted to change the course of the demoniac atheistic society. So he expressed in his talks with Swarup Damodar that this theory of chemical and biological evolution, which was especially in the beginning propagated by Darwin, it is spoiling the whole society. And it is a fact, especially in the West, if you go to any college and speak to the students, you ask them, what is life? Or how did life begin? Or how is their life? They will say that in the beginning there was no life, the earth was covered with water, and certain molecules gradually formed by random interaction, and gradually over a vast period of time, the first living cell came into existence, and then on and on and on and on. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, he was not of such a understanding. Those who knew Srila Prabhupada well were all convinced that Srila Prabhupada was actually not simply living on this earth, but he was directly in touch with the spiritual world, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. I myself, I saw Prabhupada many times I was in Calcutta, Pujari that time, 1972 to 79, and Prabhupada came many times to Mayapur. He would stop in Calcutta and stay some time. And on his way back from Mayapur, he would also stay in Calcutta. So Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan, I didn't have close, intimate association, but just looking at him sitting on the Vyasasan, it appeared to me, it's as if he was projected from another plane, projected onto the material platform. So, from that position, Srila Prabhupada felt very sorry to see everyone practically misusing their valuable human form of life. Who can recite a verse where it is explained or said that this human form of life is very rarely achieved? There's a verse that Prabhupada quoted many times, Durlabham Manusham Janma Tarapya Dhruvam Artadam. Prahlad is instructing his friends. He says, Komaram Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tarapya Dhruvam Artadam. This human form of life is temporary like other forms, but it is artadam. In the human form of life, one can actually be benefited. And the real benefit of life is to be delivered from the cycle of repeated birth and death to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. So, Prabhupada quoted this verse many times because he always blasted our educational system. So many departments of knowledge, but there's not even an understanding of who you are. You are not this body. There is no understanding or even mention of God. Even God is denied. His existence is denied. So, Prahlada is saying, Komaram Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. This Bhagavata Dharma should be learned from the very childhood. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted that Krishna consciousness should be taught from the very beginning in the schools. Of course, this is a great challenge, how it can be done. But at least in India, even in the political system, there are persons who are very favorable to Krishna consciousness. There could be, at least from the very beginning of life, the students should understand that there are two theories. Prabhupada also said, this is fact, that we are not this body, we are transmigrating from one body to another. We are eternal. We are not destroyed when the body is destroyed. So, it's a fact, but even you take it as a theory, so there are two theories, that the body is the self, and the living entity is distinct from the body, an eternal, conscious, living entity. Even if you take it as there's two theories, which one is more reasonable? So factually, logic is on the side of the understanding that the body is not the self. Logic is on the side of the understanding that God must exist. They may say, show me God, I don't see God. What eyes you have to see God. Of course, when we understand we cannot even see ourselves, we just see the external covering, then it's easy to understand that we cannot see God. So at least in the schools, from the very beginning, the children should understand there's two understandings. Then it's up to you. You choose which one seems to be the more reasonable. So here, Aditi, she's in distress. She wants to get relief from her distress. So she approaches her husband, who she accepts as her guru. And she is confident that he can give her instructions to relieve her from this distressful condition. So that we will see day after day, the instructions of Kashyapa Muni to Aditi. And we will see how Aditi, because she is advised to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, her desires will ultimately be fulfilled. So are there any questions? I'm leaving early. You're looking at your watch. Early is better than late. Do any of the sleeping people have questions? Yes, yes. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your short class. In Kali's progress, the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Raja and Tamas, they are becoming very disturbed. The quality of devotion is becoming very, it is regressing. How can we control our manoratha, chariot of our mind? It's becoming very disturbed. I understand Krishna says to Arjuna, simply just when Arjuna asked Krishna, my mind is like a blowing like a hurricane. And Krishna simply said, you simply surrender to me and meditate upon my lotus feet, just to know your everything will be subsided. But it was in Dwapar Yug. But right now we are getting into the dense, dark age of Kali. As it is progressing, our manoratha is becoming very, very disturbed. How can we control that? Would you mind to give little...
Of course, you must chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, yes. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. No other hope. Chant, 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 and don't stop. Kirtaniya Sada. Hare... Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter, Krishna explains the Ashtanga Yoga. And after hearing it, Arjuna says that this seems to be too difficult for me because the mind is like you say, like the blowing wind. When the wind is blowing, who can capture the wind? Nobody. So Krishna answers, Asangshaya Mahabaho Mano Dunigraham Chalam. There's no doubt the mind is very flickering and very strong, but Abhyasena Tu Kanteira Vairagena Chagriyate. But by practice and by detachment, the mind can come under control. Detachment. Of course, as long as the mind is wandering over the objects of the senses, searching for gratification, the mind, of course, will always be full of anxiety. That is advised, that is explained by Prahlad to his father. He asked, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad that, Oh, my little boy, what have you learned in the school? So, Prahlad answered, Sada Samudvigda Mana. What is that? Let's see. Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigda diyam asad graham. This asad graha is also in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. Asat means that which is has no real existence. And graha means catching hold of. So we're always in anxiety because we're trying to catch on to illusory things. So, as long as we are attached in this way, then there's no question of controlling the mind, but by vairagya, when one gives up the desire to lord it over material nature, and then by constant practice, gradually the mind can become controlled. Prabhupada many times said, finish up your business in this material world. So what is our business? Enjoy sense gratification. So, this Manoratha, which literally means, mana means the mind, and ratha is a chariot. There's another often quoted verse which has this term Manoratha. Does anyone know that? Yes. Very good. Somebody should give him a Maha Sweet prize. But I don't have anything. Yes. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura harav avhakta shakuta mahad guna manoratenasti dhavato bahi. That those who are akinchana bhaktas, and that's the key, akinchana. Akinchana, kinchit means something, and akinchana means nothing. So, devotees, pure devotees who have no material desires and attachments, they have all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas materialistic persons or non-devotees, no matter what their position may be, they actually have no good qualities. They're just hovering on the mental platform. Manoratena sati dhavato bahi. So, therefore, the fact is that devotional service, of course, just like Aditi, she has a desire, so it is not pure devotion. Pure devotion means without any desire. So she's on the platform not of pure devotion, but mixed devotion. But gradually, by execution of devotional service, she can come to the platform of pure devotion. There's another example that Prabhupada gave again and again, how someone began devotional service with a desire, but then came to the platform of pure devotion. Can anyone think of that or someone? The Prabhupada again and again, Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a king greater than his father, greater than his grandfather, than his great-grandfather. And for that, he engaged in devotional service. But when he actually saw the Lord, he felt ashamed that he had asked something from the Lord. And so it is a fact that as long as we remain materially attached, then our progress will be slow. Even in my initiation letter, Prabhupada wrote to me, I am slow but sure. Bahunam janmanam ante. It may take many, many births. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Hari Bol. Little more.
Okay.
Even Prabhupada talks in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is easy to people in India, it is very congenial for them that they can practice Krishna consciousness very easily. But whereas, we have been preaching in the Western world for many, many years, we come across many different people. Someone's mind is giving problem because of the drugs. Someone's wife is giving problem because of their material situation. Someone's children are giving problem. Just when we come across such people, it becomes very difficult for us to pacify them, saying them, just chant Hare Krishna, just your all problem will be solved. Of course, adho Shraddha, just if one has Shraddha, then if one adopts that process, just gradually he will, everything will be healing. But could you please give us a little light on this, that from practical perspective, what we should do in this case, like I gave the example.
Well, of course, that's why Srila Prabhupada established the temples, that of course everyone can be advised to chant, but aside from that, everyone can come and visit the temple and associate with devotees. The more they associate with devotees, then the more they may gain a taste for engaging in devotional service. That's why in the West, in Prabhupada's time, the temples were full of devotees who were fired up. And so when people came in their association, they became affected very much. And that's why they're making devotees like anything. So if there's a strong Krishna conscious, enthusiastic atmosphere in the temples, if people just come, naturally they will become influenced. So it's very difficult without that. Just simply instruction, without the enthusiastic association of devotees, very difficult. Yes.
You had mentioned that Aditi's desire was material. I mean, it was tinged material because she had desire for her own sons. So how is it that with slightly impure desire she was able to please the Lord so much that he took birth as her son, Lord Vamana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Of course, Aditi is not an ordinary person. She's the mother of the demigods. But these are all Krishna's pastimes, and she is placed in that position So, but we should know it is possible. There's the verse in the Bhagavatam. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udhara dhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Dhruva also, I think the key is tivrena bhakti yogena. Prabhupada explains that word tivra, just like in the summer, the sun, very forceful upon one's head, unbearable. So our devotional service, if we practice it with that kind of strength and determination, just see Dhruva. Of course, we cannot imitate him, but what determination, what austerities, even though he had a material desire. So if the devotional service is that strong, even though it starts in an impure way, it will quickly become purified. Because Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, it is the purifying process. Everyone begins impure, but that does not mean that there's no hope for purification and ultimately coming face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. I don't want to neglect this gentleman. You're next. Next in line.
In regards to the first question about how do we control the mind, I would like to propose that we can't control the mind.
Say that again?
I would like to propose that we can't control the mind.
Cannot control the mind.
Yes. It's too powerful. It's Krishna's energy. We are very small, insignificant. And your answer was telling also that we should chant Hare Krishna, control the mind. And the Maha Mantra is a prayer to please engage me in your service. So prayer seems to be the answer to controlling the mind. Hare Krishna.
I couldn't hear the last part.
So prayer seems to be the answer to controlling the mind. Yeah. Your answer was chant Hare Krishna.
Yes. Of course, now thinking a little more, for us, Prabhupada just said, always engage the mind in Krishna's devotional service. He would quote the verse about Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindaya, that for the eyes see the beautiful deity of the Lord, smell the flowers, taste the prasad, use the legs for a walk. Somehow, if your mind is just fully absorbed in devotional service and doing service, then that is the control. Control doesn't mean that, you know, that just you control it simply, but means that you always keep the mind on Krishna in some way or other. Of course, not easy, but that seems to be the only possibility. Let this gentleman have a chance.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
My simple question is, if the material world is the kalyam...
Jorse bolo, jorse.
If the material world is the kalyam, why is a long life considered a benediction? Because we often hear, blessed with a very long life. And if we say that a life in Krishna consciousness, so it's often confusing that even a small life in Krishna consciousness would be better than a very long life. And therefore, I'm just asking this question, why is in this material world, which is often termed as the kalyam here, we often say that long life is a benediction. Thank you.
But Prabhupada would only say that a long life is good if you have more time to engage in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he pointed out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was only 48 years not a long life, but just see. And there are other examples also. The example that is often given, it's in the Bhagavatam. There is a Maharaj Katvanga. He was asked to fight for the demigods against the demons. So he fought, and afterwards they awarded him a benediction. He said, I just want to know what is the remaining duration of my life. They said, just a moment. So in that moment, he wholeheartedly surrendered to Krishna and attained perfection. So that is the fact that one moment even, there's another verse that sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. This is Bengali. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. In a moment properly utilized, you can attain all perfection. But 100 years misused is of no value. I just wanted to say one thing, is that many times I had thought, from the very beginning practically, when I would listen to Prabhupada's lectures, I would see that he would always support whatever he was saying by quoting from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, or another shastra. Especially Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Then I saw that there are certain verses that he would quote again and again and again and again. For example, Komaram Acharet Pragyo. You see, he, in his lectures, in his morning walks, in his room conversations, he referred to this verse more than 100 times. So, what are some other verses from Bhagavatam that I would call Prabhupada's favorite preaching verses? What's another one? I can't understand. Oh, yes. But from Bhagavatam, I'm asking. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, yes. There's so many. Nate Vidu Swartha Katim Hi Vishnum. So many times. People don't know that their real self interest is in Vishnu, not in money. So I was thinking, somebody could compile a book. Take many of these favorite Bhagavatam verses and then see how Prabhupada had used them. And for each verse, give places, like in Rome on such and such date, Prabhupada referred to this verse and then say what Prabhupada said. Is this a good idea? I'm only saying this because I did that. But who will print this book? I don't know. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.